League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? How's everybody doing on a Thursday, the day before the weekend really begins? But if you work here, you know that most people treat it as such as it's already Friday afternoon, i.e. John Granato. But we are here. Barry.
Wait a minute.
Barry, who is funny, according to them and us, even Dell.
Why is John treating it that way? What happened?
He golfs every day. Every day is a weekend.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I thought you meant like he was just not coming in tomorrow.
No, every day is a weekend.
But when you're a baller like Granato, you get to do that. So I figured maybe he was just flexing that muscle.
That's why he is dark tan before they created a franchise.
How does that dude? I know he's Italian, so he's got a built-in tan. You know what I mean?
Like, he golfs all the time is what Dell says.
Yeah, that's the other part. Like, how does he, because I feel like I had a tan, but then I see sometimes, like, I stand next to Granato, and I'm like, my goodness, I look like powder next to that guy.
Yeah. But you also look like a guy that once you get a tan, it goes away after, like, a week.
It does. That's why I always have to do yard work. It's not to keep my yard pretty.
It's just so you can tan?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's so when I go to my wife's house, I fit in with the family. You know
what
I mean?
You get that peel-away tan.
That's, yeah, I'll peel. Yeah, for sure. But not like Granato, man.
No, dude also probably, I think that he enjoys tanning booze on top of golf.
I could see Granato in there in the Speedo with those little goggles on tanning. He may even go just completely bare.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And then the person at the front desk was go, sir, do you actually go in there bare naked? Who doesn't?
Yeah, a lot of folks do. I never did. I used to tan, but I would always either like just put a sock over it or just wear my underwear because I don't want my junk getting burned.
No way.
No, thank you. No. And then you get skin cancer on it, and then that's a whole other issue. So no thanks.
Any kind of red mark down there is not a badge of courage. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you get burned, and then you got a peel. That's not attractive. No thanks. No. Uh-huh. How do you explain that to somebody? Why is it peeling? Oh, I was tanning. Yeah, sure. Sure you were.
Mm-hmm. It's like paint, honey. Every certain amount of time, you know, you're going to have to repaint. Chips off.
That's right.
So everything good for everybody over the nighttime hours because it's been a while.
I'm good. Yeah. Nothing special. I was going to do stuff and then just decided I'm too lazy. I haven't worked out in forever. I don't know. I go through these. I need an energy shot or something like that. I need to go to.
We've been dealing with this low T issue with you or potential low T and low energy.
You think that's what it is? Yeah, that might be it.
You were looking for someone to like pick you up, literally with a sponsorship for it because you were concerned about it.
I know.
I mean, I think you got energy, but I don't see you at home, thank God, or naked. But I'm just saying. I mean,
I'll send you some pics.
I'll pass. I'll pass. I've seen enough pictures. I don't know.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Those got out. Those got out. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Not of me. All right. What about you, Nick? You do anything exciting?
Fun? Just chilled at the house. I'm actually ready for some football talk, honestly. I'm ready for the football season to start.
I'm not.
I am.
The trade deadline's not even here for the MLB.
So?
No.
I've never heard anybody say that. Most people are like counting down the days.
Look, I love football. I'm a native Houstonian, native Texan. I love football. But I also love baseball. You can love more than one sport, and you can be excited to see one through to the next one. So right. Am I glad that camp started? Absolutely. But I want to see what the Astros do at the trade deadline. That's what I'm most excited about.
I got some stuff on that I found. But at the same time, last night, the night that I was really looking forward to watching some baseball.
You fell asleep.
God, unfortunately, I watched the whole thing and it sucked.
Yeah, it was not a fun game to watch. No.
At the end, I was just pulling for a double just so that the streak could continue because I'm like, there's nothing else after Altuve got a hit. I'm like, there's nothing else worth pulling for in this game.
Well, it actually triggered a rant in my HoustonSportsAndStuff.com article for my Thursday article that I always
published.
I read
it already.
I don't understand why we're still hanging on to the DH. Or not the DH. Like, why aren't we... why are we still letting pitchers bat? There were two different rallies in that game that the pitcher comes up to the plate during the rally and kills it. One for the Phillies, one for the Astros. Why can't we move the National League into the 21st century, install the DH in there, and have some fun in baseball on both sides? First of all, it's the only league where you see two different rules, right? It's the only sport where there's two different rules. There's rules in the American League that are different than rules in the National League. You don't get that in football. You don't get that in basketball. The rules are the same in the sport, except baseball. And the rule in the National League sucks. The pitchers are so, like, specialized now. You know what I mean? Even down to the fact that you've got middle relievers, that's all they do. You've got closers. You've got setup men. You've got starters. These dudes don't care, and they're not concentrating on batting.
I totally agree. But, you know, there are the exceptions to the rule, which are Vince Velasquez hitting like 360 or Madison Bumgarner or, you know, certain guys that can hit that are going to be like, oh, it's a huge advantage for us to have a pitcher that can hit when other teams can't. But like my mother-in-law's in town. She's been asking me the same question and I ran out of answers. I'm just like, you're right. It should be equal. It should be American League and National League should be on an even playing field. And then trying to explain how when we're playing an American League team in a National League park, the pitchers have to hit. But when a National League team plays in an American League park, then you get a designated hitter.
As it's been widely reported.
It's dumb.
Been widely reported. And then for the World Series, you get, you know, then you have to try to explain.
The playoffs are a mess. Yeah, the All-Star game, depending on where it is. I don't understand why they can't make that a, you know, just a common thing. It doesn't ruin the game. If you're a baseball purist and you think the DH ruins the game, you're just old. You're old and crotchety and you won't join. You probably still have a BlackBerry. You probably still have VHS tapes. Like, you probably still have records. What?
We have a Whiteberry.
Is he against
but
the DH?
But certain people think we have a BlackBerry. Let me clarify that.
Yeah.
Because we have a Whiteberry in the studio, but a lot of people think we have a BlackBerry.
That's true. I thought you were talking about Barry Warner, but he strikes me as a guy that would be against the DH. That's not how.
That's a BatBerry.
That's not how God created baseball. All right. Well, you were there, so whatever. But, like, I don't think, why can't we move this game forward? No one wants to watch Mike Fiers out there chasing butterflies with his bat, fanning at everything that's just close to the strike zone and killing a rally. I want to see baseball, but I want to have fun watching it. And watching Mike Fiers or any other pitcher bat isn't fun. And I actually, in the article I even put, I did the research, which took me forever, by the way, to find it. Pitchers are hitting 122 this year. Who wants to watch that? You know who, if you're hitting 122, you're not in baseball anymore. Why would I want to watch a pitcher or a collective group of pitchers in the National League hit 122? That's terrible.
Because it makes you appreciate the art of the sacrifice even more.
Oh, God. You can still sacrifice. I mean, a DH can sacrifice or whoever's in that.
No, they really can't.
Well, some can.
I mean, that's the other sickening thing when you talk about if you really want to get to the purist and what they're thinking about baseball, skip the DH for a second and get over it and realize more than three quarters of your lineup offensively can't bunt.
Yeah, that's true.
Cannot even lay down a bunt.
And that's fine. I mean, again, it's the evolution of the game, right? There's the three outcome. We're in the three outcome era. Walk, strikeout, or home run. That's it. That's the era that we are supposedly in.
Did you see the Nationals last night? To echo that? 8 home runs, like in 3 2/3 of an inning. It's like, oh my God, when they put it together, they are the epitome of like what the Warriors are for NBA basketball offense nowadays. That's what the Nationals are doing for baseball with just nothing but long ball.
Mashing. Did you see Ichiro hit that Ivas pitch? Josh Rapp tweeted to us.
I saw it.
The video, 45 miles an hour. And he waits on it. He lets it get into the kitchen.
The best is the ISO camera.
He goes the other way with a 45-mile-an-hour pitch. He goes the other way.
The ISO camera of him in the box, his feet are like a tap dancer. They're up in the box. They're back. He's got time to go up, back, reset, look at it, and then wait on it to hit it to the opposite way. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Taking a 45-mile-an-hour pitch the opposite way is the most hilarious thing I've seen this year.
And the other thing that I thought was funny also last night was the Rangers, not the fact that, well, but it was, the Rangers getting their ass kicked. But on top of it, it's like a 12-run game, and Adrian Beltre is in the on-deck circle. But instead of being on the actual on-deck circle, he's closer to home plate.
Yep.
And the umpire tells him, you got to be in the on-deck circle. So instead of moving into the circle, he picks up the rubber mat circle and moves it to him and gets thrown out.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Seriously? The game is completely out of reach.
Well, and that's probably why he got thrown out. If he wasn't, he probably would have been warned. If that was a close game, I think you warn him and say, hey, look, man, I know you might be joking around, but I'll throw you out.
Fine and Danny, except for you and I, I'd be really pissed off that you just got fined as part of it. Because when you get thrown out with an ejection, you get fined. I don't want that fine. I know if we're losing the game anyway, don't tag me with something out of my pocketbook.
That was funny, though, man. Beltre's hilarious, though. If you watch him...
Don't touch his head.
Don't touch his head. But he has a lot of fun out there, which is cool. But of course, that's what you expect from a league with the DH. Stupid NL.
Here we go. You want to plug the fact that people should read the entire article? Which I did already.
Yeah, go to HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. It's right there. You'll see my rant on the DH. Of course, some of it is, it's also I ranted on that story about the guy that owes 65 grand. So that was kind of redone. But a lot of people that read that don't listen and vice versa. So
Barry's article brought to you by Planned Parenthood. Right now, I want to tell you guys that if you want to reach us throughout the show, 713-780-3776. It's the HR and P listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. They are doing it and doing it well, serving you the best furniture in Houston at a quality price, and Mac's been doing it for over 36 years. That's right. Mattress Mac and all of his staff now have three convenient locations across the Houston area. It's the Mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, or the Galleria, Westheimer at Post Oak, or the new convenient location for Sugarland and Katy customers off of Grand Parkway. All three locations, all the same philosophy and the same great customer service, as well as American-made solid wood living room and dining room furniture. And of course, you buy today, you get it tonight. That's not just a slogan and a marketing campaign. That's the facts. And if you want the delivery guys to move stuff out of the way or take it with you to get the new stuff in, they're happy to help, because that's how they do it at Gallery. Gallery also with this great promotion that could really pay you a lot of money if the Astros win it all. That's right, because if the Astros win it all at the end of the year and you buy $3,000 or more worth of bedroom furniture, like adjustable bases or Macapedic or Tempur-Pedic mattress sets, you get it all free if the Stros win it all. That's the kind of deals that they have at Gallery. Check out galleryfurniture.com for more information on that. But better yet, head to one of those three locations and check out Gallery Furniture in person, where they absolutely, positively will save you money.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
One and zero. The count. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Well hit. Deep center field. Going back. Fisher to the track. He looks up, and it's gone. Cameron Rupp over the angled wall to the left of dead center. It's his second homer of the night. His ninth of the year. Another two-run shot for the Phils backstop, and it's now 9-0 Phillies.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Cameron Rupp with two big flies and the Astros with one big deuce that the flies could land on easily, because the Astros laid the golden one for only the third time all year. Thanks to WIP in Philly, by the way, for that call, play-by-play. But the Stros just laid the egg, and that's what I was going to say. I was looking forward to watching baseball last night, and I started watching it right after the game started. So I didn't see the lineup card. So all of a sudden, I see where everybody is and who's playing, and I'm just like, oh, no. White's at first. I mean, I'm looking around, I'm going, oh, yeah. And I was going to ask you guys, I mean, it just seems like once they know that their goal seems to be win every series is going down the stretch. So once they win the first two in Philly, it's like tonight was the night where, all right, we already won this series. We've been really rolling along. Let's just take a night off.
It feels like that. I certainly do. I would say or agree that it feels like that. I mean, I don't think that's the case.
Right.
I think what you're seeing, though, is that guys are starting to get, I mean, you know, Bregman missing a day.
Springer.
Springer. So it gives them a chance to rest these guys an extra day or two. You've won the series. So there's no pressure of, oh, well, we've got to, you know, we're on a five-game losing streak. If they were, those guys would have been in the lineup. You know what I mean? If they had lost three or four in a row, those guys would have been in the lineup last night. I fully believe that. But you don't have to.
Right.
They were showing some ridiculous thing last night where the Astros could go 500 the rest of the year and every other team would have to go like
49-12 or...
Yeah, like they could only lose 12 or 13 games the rest of the year to tie the Astros, just to catch them. So, and they said with 62 games left, the worst 62-game stretch the Astros have put together this year, 40-22. That's the worst 62-game stretch. So, I mean, they're just basically letting you know that these guys are in cruise control mode, and you might see some funky lineups. You might see some guys, when September call-ups happen, get ready.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of names you maybe aren't aware of or haven't seen in that lineup, but that's going to be resting these guys for the playoffs. So that's certainly going to happen. And I think it's welcome, too, because they're starting to get banged up. You know what I mean?
So that's not a sign of them being complacent. It's just...
No. You got to rest these guys. Yeah. You know, they've been pretty lucky health-wise when it comes to their position players overall. I mean, Correa missed some time. Springer has missed some time. Bregman's now, you know... But overall, there's not been anything that's really set them back. Their rotation stepped up when, you know, there's been these injuries all year. So they've been lucky in that regard. But I certainly could see them saying, okay, let's not risk it right before the playoffs. Let's give these guys some days off and some rest and let them just kind of recuperate.
And while you're at it, can we rebury Carlos Beltran's glove?
What happened?
Oh, my God. When the game was still in question, there was like a slow blooping ball to left, but it was hanging up there. And the reason I say this is because Aoki, Reddick, take your left fielder of choice, even Marwin, they would have gotten under this thing and swallowed it up. And
I know which player you're talking
Beltran
about.
Beltran just was like, you needed the Benny Hill theme. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get this big grass stain from the hip to the knee. And he's laying on the ground and the ball just goes, bloop, 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 bloop. And I went, oh, boy, it's going to be one of those nights.
There was a couple of defensive miscues last night on the Astros' part.
The pop-up foul ball behind home plate and Marwin playing short doesn't cover third.
Yep. Little blooper into the outfield between Marwin and Derek Fisher that falls in because no one's So, I mean, but those are things. You look at that and, hey, whatever. And then, of course, after I go on the rant yesterday about Tony Sipp, he pitches a full inning, gives up no earned runs, got that ERA down below 5 at 4.99, so good for him. Now he's only given up 5 runs every 9 innings. Great.
Pseudo, I think it's a Twitter handle. It's like pseudo Astro, Houston Astros or something close to it.
Uh-huh.
But there was a Jerry Krasnick had reported that the Rays were close to acquiring a left-handed reliever, not Wilson or Hand. And they went, rest in peace, Tony Sipp, hoping that he would go. I was like, oh, I feel that one. I really do. Hey, and by the way, Nick and I were talking about this, and Nick, it's worth mentioning right now, that Nationals game was today, not yesterday, and what's going on is the art of the pitcher hitting and being good at it to start be a catalyst and an igniter to offenses is just fantastic. Because today, Max Scherzer, the pitcher, actually led off with a walk that started an offensive barrage of back-to-back home runs. All only because of the fact that Max Scherzer, the pitcher, drew a walk. Right, Nick?
Absolutely. I came to the same conclusion you did.
Yeah, we were talking about, I mean, the pitcher just is the reason why he can motivate these hitters to really concentrate and get the most out of them.
I don't like you guys. Yeah. I don't like you guys at all.
You start moving your mouth and your lips like that, I know you're angry. Not angry, but, you know.
Oh, I don't want to hear it. The sad thing is, this was the best offense in baseball versus the second worst offense in baseball. And the best offense in baseball musters 0 runs. The worst, 9.
I will say
this. It happens. You know what I mean? It happens.
You know, you and I were talking about, like, Vince Velasquez was such a highly rated prospect in the Astros organization. Yep. No one wanted to see him go when they traded for Giles. And yet he's leveled off in a hurry and shown you that he's just average at best. But, man, that kid last night, Nola, pitched quite a game.
Yeah, he did. He pitched well. He's been their best pitcher for most of the year, which isn't saying much on a Phillies team. It's
No, but and again, it wasn't good. It wasn't, as we mentioned, it wasn't the full complement lineup for the Astros. But you know, when you do have the best offense in baseball, and you throw a four hitter at them, you know, through six or seven, that's a pretty good effort.
Not too shabby. They're off tonight, right? They're not playing.
Astros off in Detroit, but off. Interesting too, with the trade deadline approaching. Convenient that the Astros and Jeff Luhnow sit right in the backyard of the Tigers, who are, have so much to offer that may interest your Houston Astros.
A plethora of arms. Yeah,
I'm okay if they don't get. I really don't want Verlander because of the price tag and because of the age and the wear and tear. But I really want Justin Wilson.
Do you?
Yeah, I think of the bullpen adds that they could have. I know Hand is good in San Diego, but I really would like to see Justin Wilson, and he's team controllable for a while. But I just, what he brings to the table, and especially because of Tony Sipp and the uncertainty, I would like to see them go get him. But today I was reading and doing some research. Steve Adams wrote an article for MLB Trade Rumors that said that the Yankees and the Astros have really heated up their pursuit of Wilson. The problem being is that the Tigers now feel like they can get for him what the Cubs had to give up to get Aroldis Chapman last year, and that's not worth it to me.
Nope, not even close.
When you give up four really solid to better than average prospects for that guy, I'm not doing that.
Nope, they are not the same pitcher. Not even close.
Right.
No, I don't pay a king's ransom for Justin Wilson. I would for Aroldis Chapman.
The older Aroldis Chapman, he looks like damaged goods too.
Him and Betances aren't looking that great. But,
and he's really looks like the arm is starting to give him some problems, too. And everybody's pointing back to that World Series and Joe Maddon. But look, he got his ring and he got his money, but he doesn't look like the same pitcher either.
Nope.
So that means, I'm okay with Zach Britton as long as you don't have to give up four prospects.
Well, see, and that's the thing. Zach Britton is a bona fide stud at the back end of a bullpen. He is, if you're making a tier, you know, tiers of closers, he is in the tier, I think, with Aroldis Chapman. I mean, that dude, what is it, 54 straight saves in a row?
Although I still think it was a screw job against the Astros.
Well, no.
He got some help on some calls.
Okay.
Not that they would have come back.
He's legit, though. He's not Justin Wilson. Justin Wilson's not bad. Britton is almost unhittable when he's
got touched up yesterday, but it wasn't a save opportunity. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, when there's a save on the line, there's a guy that you don't have to hold your breath for.
That you add a Zach Britton to this team, he's what you feel like when you was watch Billy Wagner or Brad Lidge when he was Brad Lidge, not after Albert Pujols stole his soul.
Right.
That's the kind of closer that is that you're adding. Justin Wilson, not as much.
The way you feel about Pat Neshek? Maybe not so much. Pat Neshek was traded during the game, by the way, the ex-Astro, and this year Philly, now off to Colorado. So pitchers are starting to change locations as the trade deadline approaches. Will the Astros do anything? Are you okay if they stand pat? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more as the show rolls on. It's 1-4, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. We've set the rotation for the weekend. Keuchel will pitch on Friday. McHugh on Saturday. McCullers on Sunday. So that's we haven't been able to name those three as our starting pitchers together all year. So it feels good to be able to go into a series with those guys.
Yeah, I mean it feels a little weird to actually have my name penciled in for a major league start, but. I feel great with how I've progressed and what I've done with the two starts. So it's go time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Straight from the manager's mouth, A.J. Hinch, and then some guy thankfully not known as Big D, Dallas Keuchel, back in the rotation. He's pitching Friday night, but you got to believe that he's good at hiding his emotions and just keeping it even keeled. But how great of a feeling is it to finally, for the first time all year, be able to put those three names in your mouth for a series against anyone?
Yeah. I'm excited to see that as well. I'm excited to get Dallas Keuchel back. That's what this team needs. You know what I mean? They need to start to stabilize the rotation. So that's good. But yeah, you know, AJ Hinch is like, this is the top three I should have had all year. not in the exact order. You flip, you know, McHugh and McCullers. But, yeah, these three should have been going in an order similar to this all year. Well,
they would have been off. They would actually would have had now, a much better season had they had those guys.
Now, yeah, control your expectations, Astro fan. There, you know, McCullers is scuffling. McHugh's just now coming back. Keuchel has been hurt. So control your expectations. But facing the Tigers is good.
Well, and they're not a bad hitting team. They're not the Phillies, but
no.
You know, they have some bats in that lineup. And anytime you put Miguel Cabrera in there and Kinsler,
Cabrera is not having a Cabrera now.
Still,
last
a good
couple
hitter,
of days,
though.
Yeah, but this year he is. I would have to look it up. I just know
I don't want him red hot.
No.
When
but
the Astros are
but he's
him.
Not. He's not been at all. I mean, let's see. Detroit's 11th in runs scored, but my guess is Cabrera's. Yeah, he leads the team in no hitting categories. Justin Upton, 16 home runs, .276 average, 61 RBIs. Cabrera is a shell of himself this year, which is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they can put up a few runs, but they shouldn't be scary. They're, you know, fourth in their division.
Right. I'm just saying, for the pitchers, at least it's not where we were talking about how bad the Phillies have been all year. But
true.
I want to see these three guys get some guys that at least know a strike zone and can swing the bat a little bit, you know, to see what they've got. Because here, look, of the three pitchers, and I want you guys' opinion on this, of course, as well. That's where I was going with this. What are you most concerned with? Because to me, Keuchel had two really quality, and everybody from AJ to Lunau said quality starts in the minors. He looked and he had his location, which is huge for a guy that's not overpowering. I really liked what I saw out of McHugh until the bottom dropped out in the fifth. But for the most part, up until the fifth, with only giving up one hit, really controlling the strike zone, I like that. McCullers is the guy that I'm going to be focused on the most. Of those three guys, I got to see this guy at least showing me signs he's getting back to where he was in the first half.
I would agree with that. I mean, I don't know about you, Nick, but I think that guy's the key.
Who's the guy that's going to take the biggest hit with Keuchel's return? Like, who's going to take, do you think, would take the biggest dip with Keuchel's return? And I don't know, McCullers might be that guy.
He's already dipped pretty low.
Yeah. I just want to see him. I don't know if it's just, you know, I don't know what it is. Whether it's mechanics or it's his head, but you want to see these guys. But that's why that's why it's okay that it's happening right now in July.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see them start to figure this out and get into a groove and hopefully stay healthy. And down the stretch, they should be on cruise control like they were at the beginning of the year. I'm not as worried about Keuchel. I mean, when you look at how he bounced back from last year being injured all year, as long as, and I think that's why they took the extra time. They let him mm-hmm. get fully healed as opposed to pitching through the injury like he did last year. And you see what the results were. He wasn't as good trying to pitch through injuries the whole year. So, rather, it's just like, hey, well, let's just give him the time off, and when he comes back, he'll be fully healthy like he was at the beginning of the year.
I mean, look, the conversation that everybody's been having wouldn't be as much of a conversation because you'd be probably pushing him back a lot quicker if you didn't have this big lead. But again, of all the advantages you have for getting out to the start that you've gotten off to, and not since 54, as I quoted yesterday, but not since 1954 have you seen two teams win 67 of their first 100 ball games like the Dodgers and the Astros this year. Because the Astros are one of those two teams, they have the liberties of being able to say, you know what, Dallas, even if you're okay, why don't we just nurse you back slowly?
Yeah.
We don't have to rush you back. So that's why, and again, I think it helped both guys because, like I said, I like the fact that at least from a location standpoint, which is McHugh's game as well, McHugh looked like he had a pretty good understanding of being able to hit his spots and know the zone. The big thing for me with McCullers is you never question the velocity, but the location. He struggled with his control. The curveball has been an issue, which has been such an out pitch for him, that's the kind of things that bother me, that he's got to start finding it now so that when we do get to September and October, hopefully, that he is back to being where he was.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah, no.
Cross your fingers.
So that's what I'll be watching. All right, Brad is here. He wants to talk about Astros. Brad, what's up?
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
I guess I just don't get the whole McHugh thing. I know the guy won 19 games a couple of years ago, but he had an ERA over four. He's never been under four in the ERA. I mean, you get into a three-game series against some of the better teams, the playoff teams. Excuse me, not a three-game series, a seven-game series against some of the playoff teams. You got to have better than McHugh as one of your three go-tos, I think. And then right now with Peacock's been incredible, and I know he only gets, you know, maybe six innings at each start. But They've been six very solid innings every time out. I guess I just don't see the big hubbub about McHugh being back. And then McCullers, you know, since he went out hurt and since he's come back, without you know being in the clubhouse and not knowing for sure, it just seems like maybe he needs to go back on the on the DL and work some things out. Just like you said with Keuchel, you didn't have to rush him back. Well, maybe now Keuchel's back. Maybe it's time to shelve McCullers a little bit.
Thanks for the call, Brad. Appreciate it. Yeah, there's some interesting things to knock around there. Go ahead.
I mean, unless he's actually hurt, I don't think you put him on the shelf. You let him work through whatever. Like I said, like I've said all year, these guys are going to struggle. Everyone is. And right now, Lance McCullers is struggling. Not letting him pitch isn't going to get him out of it. Letting him figure out what he's doing mechanically or between the ears or whatever's going on with him is the best thing to do. Here's my thing about Colin McHugh, man. I think people sleep on this guy. When you look at what he's done since he's been an Astro, all right, 273 ERA his first year in 2014. He goes 11-9, 25 starts. Second, he's 389, he goes 19-7. His ERA is 3.89 and 32 starts. Last year wasn't great, 13-10 with a 434 ERA in 33 starts. You're talking about a guy that finished fourth in Rookie of the Year voting in 2014, eighth in the Cy Young voting in 2015. He had an off year last year, but guess what? So did Dallas Keuchel. So, I mean, this guy, I don't think he gets enough credit for how good he is. He's not an ace. He's definitely not a two. But I think people, if you're not an ace or a potential ace like Lance McCullers, I think people tend to look at you and go, yeah, but he's not that good. You're never going to have a staff full of ones. No one does. Well, maybe the Nationals, sometimes the Dodgers, but Boston tried. You've got to have quality guys. A guy that's fourth in Rookie of the Year and eighth in Cy Young, I'll take that as a three.
Well, and here's the thing, to both points. On the McCullers thing, it's just like we said about the Tigers. Don't put him against. Don't put him on the DL so that he can go down to the minor leagues and pitch against subpar talent. Let him work it out against major league talent because the lineups you're going to face are only going to get better as you get into the postseason. So you got to be ready for that. So whatever you're working on, you need to work on it against major league hitting. From the point of McHugh, look, they have a luxury too. The good news is that you're getting back a guy that has all the stats that Barry just gave you. Also a guy that pitched fairly well in the playoffs in the Kansas City series where he kept you in games. He kept him, very, very low scoring games. He's got some experience under his belt too, which helps you more than you may even think about now. You need playoff experience come postseason time. It is valuable. And then the other thing is, it's not like you're locked into him having to be your third if he should blow up or he should have some shortcomings. You've got a stable of starters that you can go to that, again, are veterans that have experience in the case of a Mike Fiers. Or, you and I go back and forth. I understand the logic between putting Peacock in the bullpen. But, boy, oh, boy, do I love the fact that I, as much as I don't have confidence in Tony Sipp, when Brad Peacock takes the hill, I've got all the confidence in the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's good. That's a great argument to have, right?
Right.
Should it be a guy that has the lowest ERA besides, what, Kluber with Cleveland since May? He's got the lowest ERA in the majors other than Corey Kluber maybe the AL since May in Fiers. Or you got a guy in Brad Peacock who come out of the pen and is pitching his ass off and has been one of the most consistent guys this year. It's a great argument to have. And then you combine all that with a guy like Colin McHugh, who you haven't had all year, who when on the top of his game can be a 19-game winner. So it's an embarrassment of riches for the Astros. I don't think there's any right or wrong way, as everyone has, their opinion as far as Fiers or Peacock or what McHugh is. I think people in this town tend to sleep on Colin McHugh. Is he great? No, he's never going to be great.
Right.
Is he bad? No. He is a fantastic number two or number three starter for a team contending in a World Series. Probably a number three. He's even better as a three. Value dips a little if you were counting on him to be your number two. I think that's Lance McCullers. But for Colin McHugh to be your number three, that's good value.
Yeah. And look, I think it's unfair from before I even say this, but I'll say it anyway. And that is because of the early season home run woes that Fiers has had.
Yep.
Gave up a home run in his last start, and I was like, oh, God. That's unfair on my part, but that's because of the body of work for the season. And that's going to be a big factor come playoff time. You don't want to have a lead shrink in an instant because you gave up a long ball, which I think you have more confidence in Peacock to keep it in the park. But at the same time, look, I know a lot of that is unfair because of the early season woes that Fires had, and he's figured a lot of stuff out. But again, a great problem to have, to have options.
Yeah.
Most teams would love to have options. Sure, you'd all like to have ones and twos to just move around in the top three spots.
Never going
to
happen.
Unless you're the Red Sox and Yankees payroll or Dodgers.
Yeah.
You're right. It's never going to happen. So, all right, we can continue to talk about Astros, or we can touch on a whole lot more. We've got a plethora. Yes, that's a big word. A plethora of things that we can cover. And if there's things on your mind, like Brad did, just call on in the show. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call. You could also text, because Barry loves to hear the positive text messages.
Oh, I got a great one already.
Can't wait to gear that one up after the break. And also, you can hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the usual suspects till 4, ESPN 97.5. The RBC Canadian Open is getting underway, and Josh Rapp, that's all you needed to hear. As we continue to roll on, Josh Rapp, the only golf fan that listens to our show, I believe, besides JJ, who's missing in action.
You think so? I think there's more than that.
There's a few.
I think
I'm
there's
one
more
of them,
than that.
But I just...
Oh, I think there's more. I think you're underestimating. I just don't think people want to spend segment after segment talking golf, but I think there's plenty of golf fans. I think, you know, if you, well, not me, because I don't watch it, but if you and Nick wanted to break down a tournament every, you know, after, week, and I Nick's think Nick would is on board with
the
you
wives.
Doing that.
I'll break down the wives. I mean...
just other than that, I don't want to... Dude, you should just stick to Ricky Fowler's girlfriend.
Why don't... You know
You'll
what?
Fine.
Here's the deal. If we're you and I bust Joel's chops about not watching MMA,
right?
So I think if Joel says, "Okay, I'll watch the next UFC event, which is this Saturday, 2/14,"
which he's already said no to,
but you should start watching golf as an olive branch. So you sit down and Thursday through Sunday you watch golf. He watches MMA, and then everyone can participate.
And where do you fall in this equation?
Let me read these texts. there was a got a couple. What? Huh? What happened?
Can't stand watching golf, can you?
Actually, I don't mind it. I just
it's relaxing.
The
to
one
me.
Thing about it that I do like give it credit for is the ability to watch a little bit of it, do your own thing, circle back to the program. That part is cool, but you can kind of do that with baseball to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But other than that. And you know, and the hot wives. I mean, what else is there interesting about golf? And Tiger Woods, that's it.
He ain't playing.
Yeah, he ain't interesting.
That's it.
Got a couple of texts. Yo, Barry, Sean and John said that you should rob a bank, Nick, and tell the cops it's part of your gig. No,
you know why, right?
I don't know what. No.
Yeah, there was a story, and John Granato said you should do it too.
Yeah,
that's what he said. Sean and John said you should rob a bank
beat
naked.
Us to it, but we'll get to it. But there was a story about a guy who robbed a bank. Well, we might as well get to it real quick. But the guy robs the bank, right? And in the process, the teller puts the ink in it with a tracking device so that while he's running away with the bag of money, the ink explodes and it's all over his clothes and he's got a cast on one hand and it gets on that too. So he strips all of that off and he's running down the street naked and then he realizes he's going to get caught. So then he opens up the bag and starts throwing hundos all and $50 bills all over the place just to get him out. And when they catch him, he's laughing and basically says, "Look, this is just my way of getting noticed and starting my comedic career as a comedian."
And that he staged the whole thing.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the good old days when you just did an open mic and told D jokes? Like, now you're out there robbing banks, running down the street naked with a cast and no clothes on. I'm glad I didn't try to do that.
Mondays and Fridays.
People would have laughed at me running down the street naked, but it wouldn't have been for what you think. It would have been for what you think, if that makes any sense. No, I'm not doing that. I just rely on my jokes, but that's weird. I wonder if that guy actually is a comic, though.
That was my first question. I was going to ask you that. Like, do you think this guy's like a legit, like halfway decent comedian?
Although comics aren't, you know, we're not known to be the smartest folk in the room sometimes.
Nick, get that guy on the air. Find that guy when he fails out. Get him on the air. Like on a Monday
That's not a bad idea.
On a Monday or Friday, we'll have an open mic.
Yeah, see if he made bail money. Let's get him on to find out what his best jokes are.
Bring him in on a Monday or Friday, open mic day, and see if he wants to drop some D jokes.
Monday or Friday?
I'm just throwing it out there as an idea.
30 minutes or something?
Could end up being a segment.
Okay, a couple more texts. Wait, Barry isn't black. Yeah, we know. I am with Nick. More football talk, less failed humor from Barry. 42 days until it starts. This is a sports station, not a comedy station. For crying out loud, thanks. All right. Sweet life, bro. sweet life you got there. My man sitting around texting about how upset you are that, you know, just trying to inject some humor in your life. And you're mad about it. Boy, sweet life you live there. I'm mad you're trying to make me happy. can't wait to see both Tucker brothers play together this September. That ain't going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen this year. Next year, maybe.
Talk about one can't stop talking about and the other who you used to talk about that just completely disappeared.
McHugh isn't flashy, but he's consistent. Put McCullers in the pen. Keep Peacock in the rotation. God, no. That's silly.
Ridiculous.
Never do that. No. Barry asked Joel if he wants to go to lunch with me. I don't know what that means. Barry asked Joel if he want to go to lunch with me. I have no idea what that means. Do you want to go to lunch with this random person who I have no idea who it is?
You've asked. Okay. I don't know what else to say. I don't know who that person is. I know that we all went to lunch yesterday, so that's already been done.
Right.
So
somebody,
I don't know.
Somebody had a question for Nick. Best bar in Houston, potential wise.
I mean, there's so many.
No. Don't start that with
The best one as
give an answer, Nick.
Kung Fu Saloon.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. You really like that one.
I really like that spot, and I just went there last weekend. And if you're a fan of old arcade games,
you were gonna tap dance and be politically correct, and
correct.
If you like food, if you like drinks,
tell you what, if they put a food truck outside
favorite?
That thing,
I threw it out there.
Okay. Yeah. So that's your favorite. If you're going out one night. Because you know, you're not allowed to go out or whatever.
No, truthfully, my favorite is actually Little Woodrow's because I like to play games and get drunk playing games and stuff like that.
With
like, what games
do they have? Like
the darts they've got. Sometimes.
You shuffleboard.
Just Sean Watson could throw some darts.
You up? Thank you, Joel McClain. You a shuffleboard guy?
I will play that. I'll play ping pong.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
My brother taught me how to play ping pong.
Oh, so you're a handy with the paddle, huh?
No. But my brother is like really good with the paddle.
Is he?
Yeah.
Sweet life you got there.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty badass at ping pong.
With the paddle. With the paddle. You have to say I'm amazing with the paddle.
I'm handy with the paddle, if you know what I mean. It's some weird version of, what is that, regulators?
Yes. And I could get in so much trouble and Nick could hate me, so I'm just letting it go.
No, y'all can go ahead.
Nope.
It's right before Cowboys and Indians. I mean,
I'm surprised Nick didn't say Ojo Locos.
That's just racial.
No, I know why. Okay, you know why.
Yeah. For the slump buster.
Yeah.
I did go to Coco Loco at one point in my
life. Oh, did you?
Nick, you're not a club guy, right?
No, not anymore. I used to.
Not since the Roxy shut down.
He figured if I can't go there, I might as well work there. Or at least where it used to be.
Right. Above it. See, Joshua Salopak said, I'm a huge fan of golf and listen to y'all every day. See? Yep. I'm telling you, underestimate the guys out there that love golf.
Right.
I'm just saying, and someone wants you to do a Granato-esque golf update, and I have no idea what that means. Does he do a crazy update or what?
No,
Dell literally plays crickets like while
he's
talking
doing it.
About
okay.
It.
I mean, and the thing is too is like he subjects the listeners not only to golf talk, but then pools that he does.
Oh, fantasy golf. I've heard that.
For like majors, and then the whole thing is how he's whining about how all of the guys he got aren't on the first page of the leaderboard, and you would think about no one caring about golf talk. People could care less about that.
I feel like I could talk about sewing and the various shapes of sewing needles that would be more exciting than Granato's fantasy golf team.
Y'all broke down Major League bow hunting pretty well. What was it?
We did, didn't we?
We did.
But that's because we just wanted to show the wide variety that we have.
Yeah. One more text. Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said, Kung Fu Saloon is pretty kick-ass, but for old-school video games and badass beers, you got to stop by Brash Brewery. So you need to go check
that
out.
That's a new spot.
Yeah, you need to go check
for
that
me.
Out. Right. All right. Well, I got a spot you should all check out.
Well, wait a minute. Before you do that, Brash Brewery, you know what they should do? They should want to sponsor The Usual Suspects.
They should absolutely. Everybody should.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because people are lining up.
Was that it?
I also want to mention that if anybody wants to call the show, 713-780-ESPN.
I had a sweet-ass transition, and you just... All right, guys, I want to tell you about one of my new favorite places to eat in Houston. And yeah, we were there yesterday.
And I loved it.
And yeah, Joel loved it. I know Nick loved it. Nick, did you love it?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah, you loved it. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen.
Tony loved it. The equipment manager and travel guy for the Rockets loved it.
I haven't met anyone yet that has gone that I've told them to go. They go. They love it. Everyone loves it. You're going to love it. I know you are. They're located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian foods. And don't take my word for it. I mean, don't take Joel's word for it. Go yourself and see. They've got a fantastic menu, tons of Southern favorites as well as Indian favorites. They've got non-quesadillas, a Himalayan heat burger that's got to be on the list of must-try burgers in the city of Houston. They have wings and sliders. I've had both of those. They're delicious. Chicken curry, chicken fried steak, which is what I had, and I highly recommend it. They're also known for having the best butter chicken in Houston, so go check it out. They got a ton of the fusion favorites that you're looking for. They have a full service bar. You can sit there, grab a drink. Their wine section was so big they had to build a custom, like, I don't know, shelf that weighs like 300 pounds just to hold all the wine that they have. They've got craft beers. They've got a ton of stuff for you that you can sit there at the bar, eat. And if you don't want to go, if you don't want to get off the couch, but you still want some delicious Cowboys and Indians food, you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. Again, y'all, they're located at 1901 Taft. So if you're in Midtown this weekend, before or after the club or before or after you go out, go have some dinner with them. Check them out. You can get more information on Facebook at CNI713. That's CNI713. So take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it. And when you go in there, tell Haas and Imran Barry said hello.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.